Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
There it is. Those three right there.
So that answers that question.
He knows that too. Okay, just making sure. Making sure we're all on the same page.
Yippers.
It's what we do here in the program. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebel, Jed Marshall here in Kansas City. Corey Anderson of the Mighty Zone in middays 10 to 2. He's coming to you all this week from the Combine in Indianapolis. Corey, how are you?
I'm good. Was that Nate Taylor's bump music I came into, or was his a different song?
No, his is a different song. Leave the music to Jed, all right?
Okay.
You had one job.
No, I love that. Today's a good day.
Yeah. Cover the Combine. Don't critique the tunes.
I love the tunes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Well, the I like cuts, Ice Cube.
The cuts are growing now.
I put one back in under him that we were thinking about using earlier. I forgot to put that back there. You'll see the first one. That was the first one.
I'm still asking.
I went three. I'm like, wait a minute. There's supposed to be a fourth one there.
Now there's three.
Nah, should still be four.
Okay. Should be four.
There's a fourth one. You have to turn the page.
I've got four.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is, a bump down. All right.
Yeah, that first one.
And my hands were 8.75. They were not as tiny as you made them out to be, sir.
I do protest.
I just.
Have you know.
Listen.
My wife might be listening.
I loved you as the third Oompa Loompa in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I thought you were great.
I thought you were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. First of all, how is Indy?
Good.
Yeah? Good?
Good, yeah. Although I just got a winter weather advisory. I haven't been outside, so I got here when it was dark this morning, and I don't know what it's like outside. And there's now a winter weather advisory of like 3 inches of snow coming. So it's not Miami, and it's not surprise, but I'm happy to be here.
Is that a shot at me?
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, that's where we've been recently as a station.
Oh, okay.
I'm excited. No, this has been a running joke on our show because I actually said I would prefer to be at the Combine and prefer to be in Indianapolis for this event as opposed to going to the Super Bowl. So it's been this big joke about how Indianapolis is my dream vacation. This is a bucket list item for me to get up here to Indy for the first time.
Is it?
And I would never want to go to Miami, so...
Is it a bucket list destination or no?
Well, sure.
Not Indianapolis, but I mean covering the Combine.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I've never gotten to come to it before, so, you know, I'm kind of a geek about this kind of stuff. I mean, I wish that we were able to go in, see all the workouts, talk to the guys at that point. Like right now, it's just a bunch of media talking to guys that aren't doing any drills or aren't doing anything yet. So, the draft nerd in me would like to be able to go in and watch the workouts and stuff, but only select media, like the big wigs, get in for that, and then scouts and GMs.
So, but fans are allowed in, right?
Not when they do the actual workouts. They've got areas here where the fans can be for, like, bench press, and it looks like high jump.
Isn't it?
I'm talking about out on the field when they run the 40, when they're, you know, the guys who will throw – that kind of stuff. When you actually go over to Lucas Oil Stadium for the part that will be televised at night, yeah, the fans can come here. And right now I can see the bench press when guys start doing those. I haven't seen – nobody's done that yet today. But when the bench press happens, I'll be able to see that. And the vertical jump, it looks like I'll be able to see that. But nobody's allowed in Lucas Oil Stadium unless you're a big wig. And that's going to start Thursday night with the workouts they're going to televise on TV Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe Sunday as well.
That's interesting because you would think that since you're showing it on TV anyway, why wouldn't you just sell the place out for the fans?
I don't know.
You know?
I do not know that, Saran. I do not make those decisions. That's above my pay grade.
Put the coaches in the press box and, well, usually most press boxes. I don't know. Where's the press box in that stadium? Has it become a crappy spot, like down at the corner of the end zone?
You're asking the wrong hombre.
Well, I didn't know if you knew.
No. Nope.
All right, let's get to what was said today.
Let's do it.
Enough farting around with you.
Okay.
Let's get to.
Do you want to know? You know, I have a couple of things that I thought were like the funniest things I've seen today that have nothing to do with the sound we've gotten.
Let's do that in the next segment.
Okay. Okay, because there were a couple of pretty good ones. The only reason I bring it up is because there were a couple of pretty good ones. So
okay.
Make
All
sure
right.
we get to that.
All right. I'm going to put down funny ha-has with Corey.
That's right.
Does that work?
Play some grab ass at the end.
Okay, I like that. We'll do that. Are you going to throw to these or am I? What do we decide
yeah.
here?
Yeah, All we right. can throw to them. I mean, you've talked quite a bit. I've been listening to most of the show here from Indy, and you've talked quite a bit about Chris Jones, so I know we're going to get a little bit into that. And when I got a chance to talk with Brett Veach earlier, I was able to ask him because he had mentioned somebody had asked him about the possibility of the franchise tag. And I just kind of wanted to get his thoughts on whether or not he feels like having two guys that make that much money for whatever Chris Jones is going to end up making, is it even feasible to think that Chris Jones and Frank Clark could be paid that much money both being on the same D-line? And this is what Brett Veach had to say.
Yeah, again, going back to my personnel staff, I also have a great cap staff, and Brent Tillis and Chris Shea do a tremendous job. It's challenging, but doesn't mean it's impossible. And I think just working through the breakdowns and the dispersals and looking forward, a lot of this, you know, we have to wait with the new CBA and see how that looks. But it's always a challenge. But, you know, I think when you have guys as Chris and these other players, I mean, it's, you know, you're gonna turn over every scenario and just see what exactly can be done. So it's a challenge, but it's not possible.
With this team built to obviously win now, coming off the Super Bowl championship, I mean, do you see Chris Jones being in a Chiefs uniform this year, whether that's playing under the tag or getting something long term? Is it hard to imagine him not being here?
I would say that it would be, you know, a priority for us to make that happen, and you know. What transpires in the next few weeks or months is to be determined, but certainly our goal and our intent is to keep him in Kansas City.
So there he was, and if you couldn't hear my follow-up question, I'm not sure how well it goes out
over
the
air.
But, okay, yeah, just basically, because that's my thought and my theory is, okay, are they going to just – and I know Chris Jones would have the leverage to hold out if he wanted to, and so they would have to work out something if that something is, hey, we promise we wouldn't franchise you again if you promise that you'll report. I don't know how ugly this situation could get, but I just wanted to get Veach on record if he would say anything about, you know, do you expect him to be in a Chiefs uniform, whether that's playing under the tag or getting something long term. And, you know, he gives the typical answer that you would expect out of a GM. He's not revealing too much.
So do we know whether or not?
No.
Do you think, knowing that he held out through OTAs and minicamp and the first few days of training camp, right, or was he there the first day?
Was there when he was required to be there.
Well, that date is like 4 or 5 days after they report to St. Joe. It's April, like, the 4th. It's like it's into camp on when they have to be there for it to start accruing the year. Right, to where you're technically not a holdout.
Yeah, and he was there before he would have gotten fined.
I know he was there, but I can't remember if he's there for the first day. But anyway, he held out all of OTAs and minicamp, and he even held out of the mandatory minicamp, right? And so he took the fine. Those 3 days.
He reported.
I thought he reported to mandatory, but I could be wrong.
Reported for training camp on time with the rest of the franchise's veterans on Friday. That would have been 26th.
Did he report to minicamp? My recollection is he did none of the offseason.
I think that's right.
But I might be wrong because there are three practices. The others are OTAs. Minicamp are the three that they got to come for. Mm-hmm. Those are the only three that Justin Houston and Eric Berry would ever show up for. He didn't show up for those, is my recollection. So knowing that, if they put the franchise tag on him, do you think he's going to show up for OTAs, minicamp, training camp, week one?
I don't think he would show up for OTAs or minicamp, no doubt. I doubt he would show up for much of training camp. The question would become to him, I guess he has talked a lot about, you know, trying to build a dynasty, trying to do all that. If he's only going to make the franchise tag, you know, because July 15th, that deadline passes, and from that point on, they can't sign anything long term until after the season. So if it really is to him about wanting to be a part of it and wanting to win another Super Bowl, he knows he's not going to get any more money than what he's going to make on the franchise tag. So I could see him potentially reporting at the end of camp, maybe saying, hey, I'm not going to do the St. Joe portion, but when you guys get back to the practice facility out at Arrowhead, then I'll come and I'll report for that. But I absolutely could see him holding out into the season as well if he wants to play hardball and, you know, go the route of Trent Williams or, you know, Le'Veon Bell, the guys that just said, look, I'm just going to accrue my service time. I don't feel like that's the situation here because it's a Super Bowl team. It's a chance to go out and get another ring. I think he enjoys the guys on this team and would want to be there and want to play with them. So I have a hard time imagining that he wouldn't at least report in time for week one. But it's certainly possible, but my gut feeling would be that he would be there for the season. He wouldn't be happy about it, but he would be there because he wants to win another Super Bowl.
What do you think the reaction would be if you were the GM and you were wrong?
It would suck. And you would be paying a lot of money to a guy that realistically probably wouldn't even help you if he came back late in the season, because how many times do we see if those guys do come back, a lot of times they end up getting hurt. Does he come back and not even want to be a part of it? Because at that point, he's kind of sold out his teammates. And I wouldn't blame him for doing this. I mean, he's earned the right to do what he wants to do, and he's been grossly underpaid for what he has given this team. So I would not hold it against Chris Jones at all, but I think if he did hold out for those first 10 games of the season, then I don't know that you could expect to get much from him. In a perfect world, would he come in, would he play, be a good soldier, help you win another Super Bowl and then move on? Maybe. But realistically, you want those guys there early, and I think Veach would have a lot of egg on his face if he didn't move him for draft picks and didn't end up getting him signed long-term if Jones decided to hold out for most of the season.
So that would lead me back to believe that you are looking at either getting a deal done in the next 2 weeks. Brett Veach said today that dialogue has been ongoing, and he cited they're going to talk to him in 3 days. They talked to him in the off season, and they talked to him before the season. So is it ongoing?
As much as we'll talk about this after the season, as much as that keeps it ongoing, and now they're going to resume.
Have they made any progress?
No.
All right. So ongoing in the sense that they didn't ignore each other when they walked by each other in the halls. And I'm not trying to make this antagonistic because I don't think it is. Because I'm with you. Chris Jones has earned the right to hold out, and the Chiefs have earned the right to do what's best they think to win football games. Right? Sometimes that lines up, and you get a deal done. It's going to line up with Patrick Mahomes. It might not line up with Chris Jones, and nobody needs to be mad at the Chiefs or mad at Chris Jones. Just understand this is the business deal part of it. You've been hearing that line for 40 years or your entire life if you're younger, and how the NFL works. So don't get your panties in a bunch if people talk about the potential for Chris Jones not to be here, because I believe you tell me. And let's hear Reed first, and then I'll lay out the timeline.
Yeah, I basically just asked Andy Reid for his thoughts about it. He's not going to get, you know, he likes to defer to Brett Veach, but I just kind of wanted to get his thoughts on how much he might be involved in any of this and whether or not he had talked to Chris Jones since the parade had happened.
Yeah, so Brett does a great job of that. I don't interfere with either of his guys on that. I stay back. I have talked to Chris and, that part of it, but we don't get into any of that. I mean, and I don't talk to him about the contract. So that's not where I go with it. That's what Brett and his guys do. So, again, I understand the business and how it goes. So, you'd like to keep I told the guys I'd like to keep everybody together, but that's not always possible. But, sure, if he's here, he's a good football player. Why wouldn't I want, you know?
So, clearly, you want the guy, but I thought he was a little bit more of, you know, I've told him we're not going to be able to keep everybody. So I think Andy Reid has kind of come to grips with the fact that if we can make this work, we can make it work. But, if not, he understands the business side of it. He's been doing this too long. He knows that it's impossible to keep all of your stars.
So here's the timeline I laid out. Let me get your thoughts on this. Patrick Mahomes is the priority. I don't think anybody would argue with that, right? But the decisions have to be made on Chris Jones first. Patrick Mahomes, you don't even know where to start the negotiations. Like we just heard, they last talked before the season. There's no reason to talk in season, right? Unless Chris Jones is going to say, okay, I'll take your last offer, or the Chiefs are going to say, okay, we'll take your last offer. They both have decided to roll the dice and we're going into the year. Okay, the Chiefs are rolling the dice that Jones will have a monster year and be able to ask for more. Jones is rolling the dice. He'll have a bad year or get hurt and only be worth less. Okay, that is set and nothing changes until the year's over. All right, every negotiation needs a deadline. The deadline that's going to come about on Mahomes isn't until well after you got to make a decision on putting the franchise tag on Chris Jones. Because Patrick Mahomes and his agent are absolutely not going to sign, or I think even take any total dollar conversations. If you want to talk about he gets a suite and X number of tickets and all that other kind of fluffy crap we hear that goes with it, fine. You can get all that figured out. But with the dollars, until Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson sign, you are not seriously talking numbers if you're the agent of Patrick Mahomes. The only thing that could push you towards that is the regular season beginning, correct?
Yeah, and you wonder if somebody like Dak doesn't try to, you know, if they slap him with the franchise tag because they don't get anything worked out and they're trying to get something done by July 15th, you wonder if he might go the route of Kirk Cousins, yes, who basically bet on himself.
Or,
and if that's the case, then you don't have that number set to then start negotiating off of.
Right, which leaves it, which then you at least say, okay, this guy's going to get to the open market next year, so he rolls back to the next year. And then you're waiting on Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And does Deshaun Watson say, I'm going to play it out? I mean, so far, Cousins has been the only guy that would walk away. Well, the Redskins didn't even offer him. So
yeah.
I mean, they kind of forced his hand.
Yeah.
If you're offering $100 million in guaranteed money to Dak Prescott, that's a tough one to turn down to then go play for, what, 25, 26, 27 right now? Right? I mean, that's what teams are counting on when it comes to the quarterback position. But how about, why wouldn't he go Zeke Elliott? Zeke Elliott held out right up until, and ultimately the Cowboys caved.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do that? So once he signs.
I expect him to, yeah.
Yeah, so if he signs 1 week out and Deshaun Watson's contract negotiations go into the year, Mahomes' negotiations are going to go into the year. And so if that's the case, and you don't know, what if Jerry Jones throws up his hands and goes, fine, here's 37. And Deshaun Watson, they
which
give
isn't
41,
out of the realm of possibility.
Or
with
he
him.
Gives him 40. Like, who knows? But no matter what Chiefs fans want to say, and I just had somebody on Twitter say, well, listen, we can all agree Mahomes is worth more than Prescott, so it doesn't matter. Except we don't know what Prescott makes. Like, his agent agrees with you. The Chiefs agree with you. The NFL agrees with you. But until Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott get a deal, we don't know what Patrick Mahomes is worth. We just
the problem
know it's
with that,
more
though,
than
Seren,
that guy.
The problem with that, though, is, okay, what if these guys do push it back and push it back, right? Mahomes goes into this year, and he's only got about $2.7 million in new money coming to him this year, right? Prorated signing bonus he's already gotten. So he's getting about $2.7 million with his base salary and his roster bonus for this year.
Agreed.
So that's a lot of money to leave. I mean, that's a risk that he's taking for a guy that just
Agreed.
Saw his knee dislocated. So how long are they
Agreed.
Willing to wait
the
if
exact,
these other guys don't move first?
The exact same thing that Dak Prescott did. Turned down the money mm-hmm. and played it out this year. That's exactly. There's a new precedent. Like, we talk about Cousins, but Prescott has already bucked the trend of all the other quarterback extensions. He already did it. It's different in the sense that he's not going to be a free agent, but Prescott made his low-level third-round or fourth-round pick. Whatever was he, third, fourth, fifth? Fourth?
I think he was a fourth.
Okay, fourth-round pick money while walking away from the big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I agree with you. I don't think Patrick Mahomes would do it, but it's not just Kirk Cousins who played on the franchise tag. Dak Prescott played for what, $1 million? Probably, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Probably less.
Maybe? And said, no, I'm going to roll the dice. There is a new, I mean, with the way they protect quarterbacks in the league now, the fact that they didn't run any quarterback sneaks after he hurt his knee the rest of the year, Patrick Mahomes might say, well, no, screw it. I'm not signing. Give me $50 million per and I'll do it. So my point to that is to take us back to Chris Jones. How do you just get it done with Chris Jones when you don't know what you are going to have to give Mahomes?
I mean, I think the answer to that is you will make it work when it gets there, right? Patrick Mahomes isn't going to go anywhere. You have educated guesses on what you think is going to happen with this collective bargaining agreement. Regardless of what you think is going to happen with Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson, you need to have your number in mind for Mahomes of where you think that's going to be, and maybe you err on the other side of that, and you figure out, okay, with that, what can we do to make it work for Chris Jones? What's the most that we can give him? And if you can go out and offer Chris Jones a 5-year, $100 million deal with $80 million guaranteed, and I'm throwing these numbers out because Aaron Donald getting $86 million guaranteed.
And I'm here to tell you that I believe that that deal has already been put out there and turned down.
You think?
I think six for 100 is the ballpark of what's been put out there, and he said no.
Okay, six for 100's different. I mean, you're talking about not getting to the 20-a-year threshold. If you were to go five for 100, $80 million of that guaranteed, so essentially you're guaranteeing the first 4 years of that deal, which is basically what Aaron Donald's deal is. I just looked it up, and Aaron Donald, they've got an out after the fourth year in that deal where he would have made 4 years, $86 million, and that's what he's guaranteed. They've got an out after the fourth season. And so you put something together like that, similar to that for Chris Jones, it's hard for me to imagine him turning that down if you put that in front of him. I feel like that's close enough to Aaron Donald, but who knows? Maybe he feels like he needs to be at Aaron Donald or above, and if that's the case, then the Chiefs have to determine, you know, what's going to work best for them. My gut tells me that Brett Veach is going to slap the tag on him because nothing's going to happen in the next couple of weeks,
right,
and he's going to say, we either work something out by the draft, or I've got these other teams that are interested, and I'll pull the trigger because we have to
Bingo. We
have to get what we can get for you
Bingo.
Because we're clearly not going to be on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, and there's the other question. Is Chris Jones Aaron Donald?
I don't think he's quite as disruptive, but I do think he's damn near. I mean, I think I saw something
I don't think anybody's damn near. I think he might be second best, but I think it's like Aaron Donald's a 96 and Chris Jones is an 88 on a 100-point scale.
I saw something that was about their their win rate or their pressures or something, and essentially Aaron Donald was like 26% of his snaps and Chris Jones was about 19% of the snaps.
Yeah.
So that is a sizable difference, and I'm not saying he's as good as Aaron Donald.
It's 20% worse as a pass rusher, even if he's – and I think he was third amongst defensive tackles. I saw the same thing you're talking about. He was third amongst defensive tackles. Grady Jarrett in Atlanta was second at like 20%. It's more than from 26 to 19 is roughly 25%.
Yeah, almost 25%.
So that would mean as a pass rusher, he's worth three quarters the money. And as a run defender, it's not close. The difference, and Chris Jones had his best year as a run defender.
Yeah, he was better this year, no doubt.
He was better. So my point is, though, like, that's what you got to decide.
But you can't just look at it and say we're going to pay you 25% less than Aaron Donald.
I think
because he's
look
like,
at
no,
it,
I'm the third best in the NFL at this. So,
but I think you could look at it and say, we're not going to pay you 100% of Aaron Donald.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's what the Chiefs should do. If this deal gets to where they're paying him what Aaron Donald's making, then the Chiefs have made a mistake. I mean, you have to value your guys correctly, and I think Chris Jones being a $20 million a year guy is fair. I do think that he has that sort of impact on games, and I think that if you have him and Frank Clark over the next few years, you've got the two guys that can wreck an offense in any given game, and that's so valuable for this defense.
And so you sign him and you give him $1.5 million minimum signing bonus. You give him the minimum salary. You give him the signing bonus and he counts, what, $8-9 million this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Part of that depends on what they think they might have to do with Mahomes, you know.
Because
that's
what it's going to be. I'm saying to sign the contract you said, you give him $1.5 million minimum.
Yeah.
The signing bonus is prorated out over the length of the contract.
And what signing bonus? So Aaron Donald's was a $40 million
So you tell
signing
me,
bonus.
You give me the number you think it'll be.
I think they'll want that.
Over 5 years.
They're saying, like, look, we're not saying we have to make as much as
number.
Aaron Donald
Just give me
overall.
The number. Just give
I think
me the
40.
Number.
I think
okay, 40
is
million
where they
over
would
5 years.
Yep.
So that's $8 million per year
is
going to count on the bonus. So that means he's going to count $9 million this year. I think the league veteran minimum on his is about $1 million. So he counts $9 million. You now have $7.5 million for your entire draft class and every one of the other free agents that are out there. Just this year, let alone the fact that you're already over next year's cap, and his salary is going to rise next year. Just the players you have signed now, you're already over the projected number for next year's salary cap.
I get it, Soren, but like I understand that, and it might mean you have to say goodbye to some other guys and not bring some other guys back that you want, but they're not as valuable as Chris Jones.
I agree. Who are you not bringing back?
And I haven't gone through and looked at this all, so I'm going to throw some names out there. If there's like a poison pill in the contract, let me know. But like Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Okay, so you're cutting him. You've now opened up another $5 million.
Okay.
Who's playing right guard?
You can draft somebody. You can sign somebody
for
cheaper.
Make money.
And I get it.
It's a league veteran, so you're probably looking at $1 million. So now you're down
so that's only
$4 million.
A $4 million net.
Okay.
Right. But, I mean, that's what you've got to do, Soren. You've got to be able to go out and fill in with these guys that don't make as much.
This is the point. It's easy for us as fat-ass talk show hosts to just say that's what you've got to do. But then I go ahead and do it and get there, and I'm telling you, you get to a point where – 5 college free agents starting for you? Like, are you signing up for that?
I guess, so here's what I'm saying.
Every one of your draft picks are a starter?
What are you going to get with that $9.5 million that you're going to feel like is a better addition to this team than Chris Jones? Right?
Okay.
You're talking about, you go into the year with Charvarius Ward and Rashad Fenton as your only corners under contract.
That would
seem to be
a problem.
Are you drafting guys or are you, what's that?
That would seem to be a problem.
It is. So are you drafting guys? Are you going out to sign free agents? But $9.5 million cap hit for Chris Jones, I mean, you're not getting impact guys out there for $9.5 million. I mean, hell, isn't that what Anthony Hitchens' cap number is going to be? I understand.
Anthony Hitchens' cap number is going to be 13.5, but he's 13.5 million to cut, so there's no advantage to cutting him.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, yes, you say that Chris Jones would take up that much money and you need to sign other guys, but none of those other guys you're going to sign are going to be as impactful as Chris Jones. I'd rather have Chris Jones and a couple of Jags out there
than a couple of mid-level guys
are going to equal that $9.5 million.
But it's not a couple. Because really you have $0 to spend because that's what your draft is going to take up the rest of the money. So everyone goes, well, Cam Irving saves $5 million. You're right. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif saves $5 million. You're right. We're at $10 million. You can also cut, who's the third guy? There's another one Sammy Watkins saves $14 million. You're at $24 million. Okay?
And you can cut Damian Wilson and save about $3 million. Dustin Colquitt
27.
And save about $2 million.
Two. Now,
but you still have to sign another punter. I mean,
you
got to
sign
guys to take these places.
So let's save everything. Let's take the veteran minimum per.
Okay.
$1 million guys. You're at $22 million. And you've got to go replace Fuller, Breland, Wilson. I mean, or we can just add those five names, however you want to do it. But the other guys that aren't coming back, Fuller, Breland, Wiley at left guard, both your tight ends. You have only one tight end, really. There's some other guy I've never heard of that's on the roster they signed at the end of the year.
I have no idea.
But Yelder and Bell are gone. Anthony Sherman's gone. The running back, let's see.
Darrell Williams?
Yeah, I think he might be gone.
Yeah, he's gone.
You are without, like you said, I'm even missing it. Oh, Morris Claiborne.
Morris Claiborne, yeah.
You're out without Reggie Ragland. You're without Mike Pinnell.
You got to draft some guys to fill in some of these spots too, Soren. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but Chris Jones at 9.5.
You have 5 picks this year.
I get it. Tell me who you're going to sign that's out there with that $9.5 million that's spent that's better money than what you would spend on Chris Jones for next season.
Well, but it's not that. It's Chris Jones versus all that.
But all that for $9.5 million, though. Tell me how many guys you get for the $9.5 million.
$9.5 million this year.
Yeah.
Versus what it becomes next year and where you are next year.
And that's what teams do all the time, man. They kick it down the road.
Kicked it down the road.
I understand. But right now, while you've got this group together that includes Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu and Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce while he's still in his prime. And Mahomes is going to be here for a long time. Like, if he goes to more Super Bowls in the future, he's going to be with a completely different roster. He's the only guy that's still here, right? So when you've got this nucleus together, you kick the can down the road a little bit, and you hope the collective bargaining agreement, which is coming into place, the salary cap continues to go up. You're going to have more money to spend on guys. Like, I just feel like Chris Jones is a star player in his prime, and it feels like bad business to let a guy like that walk away, especially when you're talking about worrying about his $9.5 million for this year. Like, I want to know who you're saying with the $9.5 million you get for Chris Jones this year. If you let him go, who are you going to sign with that $9.5 million that has anything the impact?
Okay, Mike Pinnell, Fuller, Pinnell, and you could probably Fuller, Pinnell, and out of that mix, probably Wilson.
I mean, I disagree with you because I think Fuller's going to get paid probably $8-9 million per somewhere. But
not counting this year. That won't be what he counts this year.
No. I'm saying
I think
he's going to sign somewhere.
$9.5 million is this year's number for Jones. That's not all Jones counts. That's all he counts this year. So I can get those three in. Same deal. League minimums on all three of them with the prorated portion of the signing bonus. I can get those three guys in.
Okay. And I would tell you, personally, I'd rather have Chris Jones than Mike Pinnell and Kendall Fuller and who'd you say? Wilson?
Yeah.
I'd rather have Chris Jones than those three guys and draft picks or one-year prove-it deal guys the way they did with Bashaud Breeland this year.
Well, see,
at this point,
you have to trust Brett Veach
to go out there and fill in these gaps with cheaper guys because he's done it.
He's done it, and he did a great job, and I give him all the credit in the world, but there is somewhat of a crapshoot. Listen, I'll say this. I think if they were swimming in draft picks, if he'd been trading down for 2 years and picking up extra picks and the Chiefs were sitting on 9 picks, okay, I'm listening.
Or 12, whatever they had a couple years back.
But sitting on 5? I mean, to me, what sounds real good, who are the last two teams that traded up impact pass rusher? Last year.
Seahawks.
And?
Texans.
Chiefs.
D4. Oh. Well, yeah.
And you could
Clowney.
Say the Texans, too. Let's make it 3.
Yeah.
How'd they do the next year?
Pretty good.
They all 3 made the playoffs.
Okay. See how it goes. You are right. All 3 made the playoffs.
I mean, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
One of them
but,
did.
I mean,
one
I don't know,
did.
Man. It's just
one of them did.
This is
the Kansas
this
City
is really,
Chiefs did.
This is really, really hard for me because, like, I get it. I am with you. And the Patriots, the Steelers, these are organizations that get rid of guys before it's too late. But Chris Jones is, like, entering his prime and is a star. And he has come up through your organization. And you have to find a way to keep that guy as part of your team. You just have to make it work.
By the way, Dak Prescott made $2 million, the performance earned bonus kicked in on him, which kicked him up to $2 million this year. So otherwise he was $600,000 the year before, but he kicked up to $2 million this year. We'll take a break, hear Andy Reid talk about O-line and D-line, and also Brett Veach talking about the only two corners he currently has on his roster, a man, Corey Anderson, doing a fantastic job covering the combine in Indianapolis. That's next here in the program.
The program with Sir Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We roll on here in the program. Don't forget, big week at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Some specials this week. They are going to have a little Fat Tuesday special. The Spirit of Mardi Gras, they're featuring their Cajun Bowl, which starts with a Joe's Delicious Dirty Rice, which we had some of that, didn't we? Didn't we, Corey?
I saw
that's
that in
the
right. picture.
Oh, we were watching the fight.
Stuff is so good.
We had it's some dirty stuff. Rice. Starts with the dirty rice topped with red beans, sliced sausage, dribbled with barbecue mustard and garnished with green onions. Absolutely fantastic. Tomorrow for Ash Wednesday, the return of Joe's famous soft shell crab po' boy. It is phenomenal. Plus their new Impossible Z-Man. Basically, it's a no-meat Z-Man. So you can still rock the Z-Man without the meat.
In Joe's, we trust.
Yes, we do. So working for some Great, great eats at really, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.
Regardless of what they come up with. Hey, we just got this idea. It's going to be this.
They don't put anything out unless it's awesome.
Mustard on a tire.
Yeah. The gumbo
might be,
is great.
Might be good, though. You know?
And so many things on their menu that are kind of hidden gems. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
I'm going to have to try a bite of somebody else's Impossible Z-Man, because when I hit it up, I do the pork Z-Man on toast. But Saran, if you're there on a Friday, because you won't be eating meat, correct?
That's right.
So maybe I'll go there with you, and if you get an Impossible Z-Man, I'll give that a try. I just can't turn down Joe's actual meat.
How about Anderson thinks I'm just going to give him a bite of my sandwich?
Yeah. I've had the Portobello Z-Man, Corey, and I don't even like mushrooms, and it's money. Super good.
I mean, you slap an onion ring and some Joe's barbecue sauce and some cheese on there. Like, do you even really know what you're eating in there?
Since it's Corey, all so good. Since Corey did pop for the spread, I will definitely give you a bite.
Okay.
So thanks. We can go over there and do that if you want.
Yeah, I brought a couple slabs and some pork and extra pickles to the Petro household for the fight. Yeah, and some dirty rice.
You can't have enough pickles for Seren.
No, it is impossible. Pickles are the bomb. No.
I guess Kay and I's phone calls just got lost in the mail.
That they did. That they did. Like your calls to me to invite me over to your place.
Do you want to come over and smoke weed tonight after the show, Seren?
and pet his cats. And play Tiger Woods.
No, I'm going to pass. I'm going to pass.
Well, the invite's there, Seren.
That is true.
If you want to come by and get baked at the Marshall compound.
You know, inviting a guy to something you know he's not going to do, you're kind of, you know, it's kind of an empty invite, to be honest with you. All right? Just saying. All right, let's press on. Andy Reid today, Corey. Corey Anderson in Indy at the
combine. So this was an interesting stat. I don't know if you heard us talk about this on our show or if you guys have mentioned it, Seren, but in Andy Reid's 20 years as a head coach, teams that he's been in the draft for have only ever taken an offensive lineman in the first three rounds 7 times in his 20 years. So you're talking 60 picks.
21.
Well, I mean, they haven't, 21, yeah. So they haven't always had a pick in every round, obviously, but in the first three rounds of the draft, where you typically, you know, invest in what seems to be a priority for them. They've taken 19 defensive linemen on Andy Reid's watch and 7 offensive linemen. So I just thought that was kind of strange with him being an offensive lineman himself, and kind of wondered if that was just the way he valued that position. Could he find value later in the rounds? And I asked him about his, you know, his thoughts on drafting offensive and defensive linemen.
There's an importance there, I think, with the offensive and defensive line, and I don't really care where we take them. You just want ones that you can develop and win games with. So, and it's a very important position, you know, in my most humble mind here. So it's, I don't know all the stats on that, nor do I really care, but I do know the importance of it. Yeah, we've had 4 guys starting from the Cleveland Browns. For us a majority of the time the last couple of years here, so and they've stepped in and done a heck of a job for us. Andy Heck is phenomenal at developing guys and growing them into what they are, you know, today.
So by contrast, your teams have taken 19 defensive linemen in the first 3 rounds, 7 on the offense. Do you feel like with the draft you have to spend higher capital to try to get those defensive players? Those
Yeah, well, normally the tackles and your defensive linemen, especially if they have a low pass rush ability, go fairly high. So that's what normally happens there.
So I just thought it was interesting with him having an offensive background and him being an offensive lineman. Like that's a strikingly low number in 21 years of coaching to only take 7 offensive linemen in the first 3 rounds.
Well, let's look at what they've got. You know, he said tackles. How many of those 7 were tackles? Do you have that number?
I do not.
Okay. So I'll bet you the bulk of them are tackles. But, you know, he took Eric Fisher, number 1 overall, here with the Chiefs. He took a tackle. And they've paid their tackles.
And they took Mitch Morse, who was an interior lineman.
Yeah.
With what I believe a 3rd round pick.
Second round for Mitch Morse at center.
So that was the last one they took here with the Chiefs.
But I think it's interesting right now they won the Super Bowl with a free agent left guard. Andrew Wiley was a waiver claim or a cut free agent from the Browns. Ryder was cut by the Browns and they grabbed him. And then at right guard, they had a 6th round pick. So certainly from guard to guard. Now, and you can make a case the biggest mistake they've made financially is giving all that money to DuVernay-Tardif. Because he's
that hasn't. But they won a Super Bowl with it, right?
They did. Listen, and when you
so any decision they've made to this point led to a Super Bowl. So it's hard to say any of them have not been like even the Sammy Watkins deal, where you're gonna probably walk away from that this season. Ultimately, he made plays in the playoffs and helped this team get a ring, and so everything they've done has technically worked out.
He is drafted. Let's see, there's in Philly in 5 years, four guards and a tackle.
In 5 years or 14?
In 14 years, four guards and a tackle. And for the Chiefs, one
so
guard,
mostly
one tackle.
Interior.
For those.
A center, you call him Morse a guard?
They listed him here as a guard.
Right,
Morse
okay.
in Fisher and in Philadelphia, in chronologic order, Doug Brzezinski, Bobby Williams, Sean Andrews, who went on to a pretty good career, Winston Justice is the one tackle, and Danny Watkins, a guard, who went in the first round in 2011.
So I don't think he's going to take an offensive lineman at 32.
No, it doesn't sound like that. Although, you know, now their number one job is protecting Patrick Mahomes. And
that's
true.
If
that's the best guy that's on your board and he's a guy that's an interior lineman that can be a stud for you, like you've got to worry about protecting 15 for the long haul. So I wouldn't be upset if that's who they've got at the top of their board.
All right, so next up, corner.
Yeah, corner. So we talked about it. No Mo Claiborne, no Kendall Fuller, and no Bashaud Breeland under contract. That doesn't mean none of them will be back. But as of now, you've only got Charvarius Ward and Rashad Fenton at corner on this roster. And so I asked Brett Veach, basically, you know, how he feels with those two guys coming in, if those two guys have to kind of take on the role of being the guys as your starting corners.
Well, I think Charvarius Ward and you know, the things he's able to do over the last 2 years, I think speaks for itself. I think he's showing that he's a starter in this league. And Rashad, because of some of the injuries we had this past season, he's a guy that has stepped up and played an important role in our season last year. And we expect more out of him. He has some nickel and some outside versatility. We're excited, both those guys, but the volume, it will be low if we're not able to retain all these corners. So we'll certainly be trying to address that as we move into the offseason here.
You think Fenton's a starter?
I think he shows he's a guy that I think when you talk about starters, you know, we do so much. Spags does such a great job of mixing up what he wants to do day in and day out. And we do so much nickel and dime stuff. To say he's a starter, I mean, maybe a different take from somebody else, but just knowing what Steve does and how he implements so many defensive backs, I mean, these guys are going to play 60, 70, 80% anyway. So, I mean, those guys are basically starters.
So he definitely said Charvarius Ward is a starter in this league, and when I followed up with this Fenton a starter, there was a lot of, well, regardless of what people think, this and that, and, you know. So I think he thinks that Rashad Fenton's a good player, but I don't think he necessarily sees that yet. So that's definitely something that they're going to have to fix this offseason with only those two guys under contract right now.
So would you agree he's probably going to re-sign one of the guys?
I think they want to re-sign Fuller. It's just a matter of what they can make happen. And I hope that they can, because he showed a lot of versatility this year and proved to be a pretty valuable part of that defense. And Spags loves to be able to kind of, you know, put those sets out there where you don't know, is Tyron maybe going to blitz? Is Fuller maybe going to blitz? Like, he showed the ability to even get to the quarterback a couple times. So I just think that his versatility is big for this team. So I'd love to see Fuller back.
Yeah, I would too. I think he's the guy you resign. I think he fits so well with what they're doing. And I think we can count on a corner being taken somewhere. One, it's a deep corner draft, according to most. Mm-hmm. And so I think somewhere in there you grab a corner if you're the Chiefs. Can we agree the one thing that this combine he better do, find a lot of guys he likes, because he needs to trade down a hell of a lot more than he needs to trade up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And hope that there's some team out there that really wants to trade back up to 32 to grab that quarterback that slipped to the end, like Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater, so that he can, you know, drop down and get a couple of extra picks. That'd be nice.
Yes, I agree. Corey, great stuff today. You did a fantastic job with
Thanks, Beach,
buddy. And Reed, and we're looking forward to what you bring us tomorrow.
All right, man. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right, Corey Anderson from The Zone. You hear him with Jason Anderson, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're running a little bit behind because Corey Anderson insisted on arguing with me. I'm not taking the heat here, Jed. So we'll take a break. Come back. A couple other nuggets about the combine next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
It's me and a bunch of drooling Neanderthal dullards. What more do you need to know?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. Before Bradley Beal, who was the last player to score 50 points on both nights of a road back-to-back? That question does require you to understand what that means in short order, but most NBA fans don't know what a road back-to-back is.
Back-to-back nights on the road.
On the road.
Two different towns you traveled and had to play the next day. Yep. I am going to go, in fact, I'm writing it in pen. See if I get it right. Mm-hmm. I'm writing it in pen where I always write all the answers.
Correct.
Thank you.
Not as impressive when you realize that this is on the top line of the ESPN page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it on the ESPN Stats and Info last night. Kobe Bryant, March 22nd, 23rd of 2007, 60 at Memphis, 50 at Nollins.
I just knew it. I just remembered it.
Yeah, for you, it's amazing. But just for the other people who may have gotten it because of ESPN, not as impressive.
I heard it somewhere. I don't know where. I can't keep track of what the hell I'm reading and not reading. I think I had some alert or something that said that. But it's a great question.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Bradley Beal playing Kobe-like ball.
Yep.
From St. Louis.
Oh, it's like, where did he go to college? Yeah. Florida. Yeah.
Great good sense. What we were playing for there, you know, you can put your order in. I think that's happening here. I mentioned we got dance tonight. I got some other activities going on. So looks like I'll be putting in an order. GoodSenseSubs.com. You can pick whatever time you want to pick it up. You can even have it delivered if you don't have time to pick it up. And make sure you're part of the loyalty club. 10% back off every purchase. It's the best loyalty club out there. Get the app on your phone. Good Sense Subs. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com and get some of that freshly sliced meat on your sandwich. I like extra meat. That's just how I roll, though. That's me.
Oven roast chicken, baby.
That's right. That's my favorite. It's my favorite. I like the Penny Club, too.
Yeah.
We will take a break when we come back. Gary Parrish? Wow. Day's flying by.
It is.
A lot of football talk. We'll talk some college basketball.
Sting light later. It's confusing.
It is. Gary Parrish. We'll talk to him about KU's win. The Doke. How he is playing. All that coming up next with the best college basketball insider, Gary Parrish.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
Speaking of KU big men, before Joel Embiid, who was the last 76er to have 49 points and 10 boards in a game? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.